Well, man, can you believe it's almost the end of January already? So think about this. We're almost 1/12 of the way through 2019 already. So I hope you're getting with it. I hope you're not sitting around waiting on stuff to happen, because this year will be over before you know it. And so in light of that, and in light of the series we've been in called Begin Again, where we're beginning to go after the things that God has called us to, again, many times, because we're prone to give up, are we not? I know I am sometimes. And so this series is about going after those things again, reigniting that flame and going after God. But in light of all that, I need to ask you a question. Do you realize 80% of people who make New Year's resolutions give up by February? Did you know that? All right? And so how many of you know February's almost here? And so 1 month in, for apparently 1 month, most people are sticking with it, but just 1 month in, 80%, the vast majority of people give up on what was so inspiring and what they were so filled with hope for just a month before. Because I think there's something to that 1 month thing. Because I think 1 month is just long enough for the hope and the inspiration to completely wear off, and you are left realizing what a grind it's going to be to actually bring about what you were hoping for. Anybody ever been there, right? Here's what happens. The end of the year, the beginning of the year, maybe a few weeks ago, you heard a really awesome, inspiring message, and you were like, I can do this. New year, new you. Oh, I can do it. You know, I'm going to do it. And so maybe you had a vision a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, of, if I could say it this way, a more glorious you. Right? A more glorious me by the end of 2019. 20 pounds lighter and looking 20 years younger, baby. You know what I'm saying? A more glorious you. Maybe some of you who are really spiritual, you're like, no, I've tried all that before. I just want to be closer to Jesus this year. You know, by the end of this year, I just want to look more like my Lord and Savior. God bless you if that's you. You know, that's a good goal. That's a more glorious you. We're created to reflect the glory of God in our lives, right? To grow more and more in His joy, in His peace, in His love. That's what God wants to do in you. Make you more glorious like Jesus is glorious, right? And so maybe you had that goal, and what happens after about a month of really getting in that Bible every day and praying every day, maybe the hope and the inspiration of a more glorious you has worn off, and you're like, wow, it's just a grind sometimes to do the things that I know I need to do in order to bring about that more glorious version of me that I was so filled up with hope for just a short time ago. You know what I've experienced? Everybody wants to experience the glory, but nobody wants to go through the grind. You ever notice that like I have? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to themselves. Everybody wants to experience the miracles of God, but nobody wants to be in a position where a miracle is the only hope you have. Everybody wants to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, but very few people want to consider it pure joy whenever they face trials of many kinds, because they know that the testing of their faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete and look more like Jesus. Everybody wants to experience the glory, but nobody wants to go through the grind. And what I've experienced in my life, in my faith, and in Scripture, what I see over and over and over again is God does have greater glory in store for you. That's His hope for you. But to experience the greater glory, you have to be willing to go through the grind. And let's just be honest since we're in church today, okay? Let's be honest when we're not in church. Can we just say that? Okay. But let's be honest, especially when we're in church. Life's just a grind sometimes, isn't it? Confessions of a pastor up here, can I just be honest with you? Faith, following Jesus, is just a grind sometimes. And if you're going to experience greater glory of God, you've got to be willing to go through the grind. And here's what else I've experienced. There are times when reading my Bible is glorious. I get up, the Lord speaks to me I realize I have an idea. I need to make a different decision in my life. I need to change something. I need to do something new, and it's going to change everything the rest of my life. And it's just glorious. And you just know that. You're like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the answer. And there's other days, it's just a grind, right? There's days I get up here and I preach and it's glorious and you see people like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then you talk to them later and like, this changed my life. I'm going to do this. And you find out later the fruit and you're just like, wow, that's glorious. And there's other days, it's just a grind. But if you want to experience those moments of glory, you've got to be willing to go through the grind, okay? So I want to help you today get through the grind, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to get through the grind. Believe it. Believe it. We're going to get through. We're going to get through the grind. I think there's something to this 1 month thing. I was going to preach this message last week, and I was like, man, I'm going to talk about how 1 month in, but it's not. And then we have snow, and now it's like we're about a month in. And so I think there's something to this because we looked at a story last week where God called his people to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And they had started to do it, and it was really important. It was the foundation of their faith in God, and they got discouraged. They gave up for 14 years, and then God sends this prophet named Haggai to tell them he basically tells them, stop making excuses and begin again to do what God has called you to do. And in chapter 1 ends, it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and all the people. Do you know what that is? That's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, giving hope and inspiration. Hope. We can do this, right? Hope is synonymous with inspiration. It's like, oh my goodness, this is what I'm supposed to do. And you've got hope for it. Hope is a powerful thing. We serve the God of hope, Romans 15, 13, who wants to fill you with all joy and peace so that you overflow with hope. If you're always filled up with hope, if you always have the vision of what God wants you to do in front of you, the grander vision, that's really what helps you get through the grind, right? Because it's just a grind sometimes, but if you've got that hope in front of you, you're like, no, this is a grind, but I'm working towards this greater vision. And what I've discovered is there are things that can block your vision and keep you from remembering why you're doing what you're doing. We have a spiritual enemy who wants to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And in that story, at the end of chapter 1, God stirs up their spirit. The beginning of chapter 2, it says God comes to them to speak to them again. Guess how much later? 1 month later, 28 days later, about a month in to their journey. Why? Because they're feeling discouraged and defeated, and they're ready to give up again. And so God comes to them again to speak to them again to help them get through the grind. And so we're going to get through the grind today. This is what God says in Haggai chapter 2. I want to read the first 9 verses and I'll touch on it as we go through it. And then I want to speak what God has given me to bless you with today. All right. Chapter 2 verse 1, it says, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. They started the work on the 24th day of the 1st month. Now we're the 21st day of the 7th, 28 days, 4 weeks, about a month later. This is what God says. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, those are the leaders, and to all the remnant of the people. Ask them this question, God says. Who of you is left who saw this house, the temple they're working on, in its former glory, referencing the Temple of Solomon, which had been destroyed 70 years prior, actually at this point, probably more like 80 to 84 years prior. Who of you was here that remembers this house in its former glory? And this is a question he asked them. How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? He's like, think about how awesome Solomon's temple was. Now look at what you've got. Remember, they're 1 month in. All they have is a foundation. All they have is a few stones in the mud. They don't even have the walls up yet. A few stones in the mud. God's like, hey, remember how amazing Solomon's temple was? Now look at what you're doing. How's that look to you now? Doesn't it seem like nothing? God is not making fun of them. God is bringing up what's bothering them. He's pointing out their problems. Here's something you got to know about God, because he loves you. He will bring up things in your life that you need to work through. Because the way you get into freedom that we sang about earlier is not by denying your problems. It's not by ignoring them. It's by working through them with the help and the power of God. Okay? Man, I read this on Facebook this week. My Aunt Betty was throwing down the word of God this week. And she shared this. She said it this way. She said, Jesus will keep getting in your way because he is the way. All right? I said down there below, oh snap, Aunt Betty, praise hands fire, that'll preach. And so I was like, you know what? I need to preach. I'm preaching Aunt Betty to you today, all right? Aunt Betty's preaching in this place, all right? Jesus will get in your way because he is the way. And when your way is not his way, he loves you so much. He's like, you're going the wrong way. You need to go my way. And so God will bring up things in your life. But here's what you need to know. God never brings something up to shame you, but to set you free. And so if God speaks something into your life today, if he brings something up, don't shy away. Sit up and listen, because he wants to speak into it to help you through it to set you free. All right? We tracking? All right, here we go. This is what he says to them. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Why is it that every time it gets hard, your first response is, oh, is God even with me? Is God even with me? Why is your every prayer, oh, Lord, just be with us today. Just be with us. God's like, I am. Pray something else, right? He's with you. He's with you. Pray something that'll make a difference. How about this? You can shift it. Make me aware of your presence today. Make me aware. You know why I was getting pumped in worship today? Because I was aware the Lord is in this place. I sensed it. I could feel it. You know why? Because my thoughts and attention were on him. I wasn't sitting there going, man, I wonder if I raise my hands what people will think. Man, I don't, did they do this song last week? Have we ever done this song? Man, I just wonder, man, oh, what are they wearing? Man, why do they keep the dogs so well? What's up with this new screen? It's got all these lines in it. I don't even know. What's... You know what you're doing? You know what you're not aware of when you're aware of all that? Jesus. Lord, make me aware of your presence. Manifest presence of God is you being aware he's in this place, because he is in this place. Lord, make me aware of your presence. God says, I'm with you guys. Stop doubting it, man. And then he says this. Last few verses I want to share before we really dig in here. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says in response to that question he asked earlier. He says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. He's speaking of Jesus. And I will fill this house with glory. He's saying, this temple you're building, they can't understand or fathom who Jesus would be. So he just said, the desire of all nations is going to come, and he's going to fill this house with glory. He's speaking of Jesus. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. They were questioning if they had the provision to do what he's called them to do, because Solomon had all the provision and resources in the world. He was the richest king in Israel's history, right? And they were questioning if they could do it. And God's saying, stop questioning that. If it's my will, it's my bill, I'm going to provide for this. Just do what I've told you to do. He's also saying they brought gold and silver articles from Babylon, which had been in the temple. The king of Babylon had taken them out and had worshipped false gods with them, thereby desecrating them. And they were feeling bad. They were feeling guilt. They were feeling shame. Like, we have these holy gold articles from Moses and all that, and we can't even use them because they've been desecrated. And God is saying to them, what has been desecrated, I can make holy again. And some of you need to hear that today, because you feel like God called you to something and you messed it up and you committed a sin and you went out there and you desecrated your holy vessel. And God's telling you today, what you have desecrated, I am able to make holy again. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. God wants to use you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. He wants to use you for his glory if you will believe it, if you will receive it, if you will get over yourself and realize it's not about you, it's about him. And he actually gets more glory the more jacked up you are. Right? That's not what this sermon is about. I don't have time to go into that. Just trust me on that and read about the Apostle Paul in Scripture. All right? He gets more glory when he uses the worst of sinners. All right. And so the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Verse 9, this is our key verse for today. Guys, that's just the intro. Guys, I haven't got into it. All right? So sit up and listen. Stay with me. We're going to get through the grind here in a minute. Verse 9, the glory of this present house, what looks to you like nothing, that little thing God starting in your life right now in this season, that little place he's called you to serve, that little verse that just keeps nagging at you, you're like, man, I should really dig into that little thing God's calling you to. It doesn't look like much. It looks like a few stones in the mud right now, but let me tell you something about this thing. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. Here's what God's saying to them. You're not believing it yet, but there's greater glory in store. Here's the problem. You're not believing, that is true. And so you have no hope for the work you're doing, that it will result in something good. So there's no joy in your work because you don't have hope or faith that it's going to result in something good. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the work is wearing you out, and that's why it feels like such a grind. Because you've lost your hope. You've lost your joy of the Lord because you have a spiritual enemy. And so God diagnoses the problem, like any good physician, by asking the question. Back in verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing? There's some older people among them who are so old that they're remembering the glory days. And they're probably telling people about the glory days and how this new little church thing isn't ever going to be as great as it used to be, right? You ever hear that kind of stuff? And so there's some older people among them. Oh, let me tell you about the glory days of song. I mean, look at what we're doing, right? And so they're struggling with discouragement and disappointment. Discouragement and disappointment because they're looking back, and number one, they're comparing. Comparison is a trap of the enemy to discourage you in what God is calling you to. Okay, so they're looking back, they're remembering. God is pointing out, here's what you're remembering, okay, with your rose-colored lenses when you look back at the glory days. You're remembering the glory. Who of you remembers this house in its former glory? What they were not remembering is that it took Solomon 7.5 years to get it that glorious. And he did that a few hundred years before they ever saw it. And so all they ever saw was the glory, right? And so they're remembering the glory while they're in their grind. Let me say it this way. Why are you comparing your grind to someone else's glory? Let me say it this way. They're 1 month in, took Solomon 7.5 years. Why are you comparing your 1 month in to someone else's 7.5 years? Let me say it this way, the way some other well-known people have said it. Why are you comparing your behind the scenes to someone else's, help me out, somebody that knows where I'm going with that. Highlight reel. There we go. Trying to quote Stephen Furtick there. All right. Okay. Here we go. It's like, why are you comparing your behind the scenes to someone else's highlight reel? Why are you comparing your grind to someone else's glory? Stop doing that. It's a trap of the enemy to get you to be discouraged in the work that God is calling you to, or to just discourage you in you, right? And so you come to church and you hear people pray. You hear Miss Tasha get up here and share what she shared. And you're like, dang, I think I could be a Christian my whole life. And nothing like that's ever going to come out of my mouth, right? That's amazing. Wow. How long you been walking with God? How long you been grinding with God, right? How long you been getting in the Word? Why are you comparing your 1 month in with someone else's years and years and years of experience with God? Don't do that. Why do you get on Facebook and look at your friend's selfies and you're like, oh, look at her hair. She's so cute. Look at her makeup. Look at that little nook in her house. Oh, I wish I had a nook in my house, you know? Oh, look, it's just perfect. Every picture she takes is just amazing. And you're sitting there in your soft pants. Haven't showered for 3 days. You don't have makeup on. Because your kids have been sick. You've been grinding. One of them just threw up on you. And you're like, oh. And then you look at her and you're like, why are you doing that? You realize, like a week ago, that was her? Because it was her kids that gave it to your kids, all right? She was in the exact position a week ago. Do you also realize it took her 27 attempts to find the right nook? Maybe over the course of 3 days with different filters, different kinds of makeup. Finally. You know? Hashtag just chilling. This just happened. I didn't even, an angel appeared and just took a picture of me. You know, like, why do you do that? It just discourages you. It's a trap of the enemy. Comparison always ends up in either pride, because you're always better than someone, or envy, because you're always worse than someone. And let me assure you, if you look around, there's always going to be someone who's better than you at those things, and there's always going to be someone who's behind you in those things. It's a trap of the enemy. Galatians says, stop comparing yourself with others. Just look at your own work, and then you'll be able to take pride in what God is calling you to do. There's some things that our church is doing right now that we're just starting out, and when I think about where we're at, I'm like, this is amazing. God's doing some great things. And then I look up at other churches and I go, oh my gosh, we suck. You know? It's a trap of the enemy. Don't compare. There is a type of good comparison where you learn from others. Like, wow, I want to be like that. Wow, I want to, you know, be like Mike, right? I'm going to study his game. You know, I want to grow. But the moment it starts turning towards, oh, I could never be like Mike. You weren't called to be Mike. You're called to be you. The world needs you to be you. God created you to be uniquely you. That's what you need to be. You need to be you. You can learn things from Mike, right? But you need to be you, all right? If Steph Curry was trying to be like Mike, he wouldn't be setting three-point records all over the place. Mike wasn't much of a three-pointer, all right? Three-point shooter. Can we all just be honest? Still the GOAT. Still the GOAT. Not saying he's not, all right? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, there's confusion in this room right now. Some of you are like, LeBron, but what about LeBron? I don't, okay, yeah. Anyways, comparison is robbing your joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the trap of the enemy to discourage you. The second thing that was happening to them, they were believing a lie that their best days were behind them. So they're looking back at the days of Solomon going, man, those were the glory days. Let me tell you when the glory days are happening. Right now. Right now. That's when the glory days are. These are the glory days. Those were the glory days. These are the glory days. And those will be the glory days. That is the truth according to Scripture. God says, man, you're believing this lie that Solomon's temple was so great. You remember the glory of Solomon's temple. Do you know who the Do you know what the glory of Solomon's temple was? Solomon. Wow, look how great a leader he is. Do you know what the glory of his temple was? Gold. It was overlaid with gold, pure gold on the inside. Material things. It was a magnificent structure. Wow. it wasn't Solomon so great? Wow, wasn't it so great? That's the glory of Solomon's temple. And God's like, you're believing a lie because you're believing it'll never be that glorious again. Let me tell you the truth, God says. I'm going to shake all nations. The desire of all nations will come. How many of you know Scripture says the temple is a shadow and a copy of the reality fulfilled in Christ? God's like, Solomon had gold and a nice structure. That's great. You know what that was? A shadow of what you're going to get to experience. Jesus is the reality. Jesus would literally go inside of their temple. Jesus, when his parents lost him, let me just encourage the parents for a few minutes, all right? You ever read that story? Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 3 days. And then a kid falls into a gorilla cage and everybody's like, how did parents do this? You know, I'm like, read your bio. Mary and Joseph, I mean, it happened to Mary, it happened to the best of us, okay? You know what I'm saying? For 3 days, they lose Jesus. Where was he? In the temple these people would be building. When he died on the cross, it was in that temple that the veil would be torn and the glory of God would be unleashed on the earth. Let me say it this way. It was a greater glory, but it was a different kind of glory. God's got greater glory in store for you. It just might not look like what you want it to look like. It just might not be what you want it to be. And when your expectations go unmet, your expectations are here and something here or something over here happens. You know what resides in unmet expectations? This faith killer, this life killer called disappointment. You know what disappointment is the opposite of? Hope. The God of hope wants you to dwell in hope. So when something bad happens in your life or when you're going through a change of seasons, you don't go, oh, those are the glory days. The best days are behind me. Oh, I'm so disappointed with how life's turning out. My marriage isn't what I thought it would be. My kids aren't what I thought they were going to be. Like, my job isn't what I thought it was going to be. I worked so hard for this career. I did the career path. I did everything right. I got the good grades. And now I'm in it. And God's calling me to something else. Why would you do that? Why did you call me to that degree? I paid so much money for that. Why would you do that? Disappointment. Nothing's meeting my expectations. Do you know what the Christian says to disappointment? It's not what I thought it would be. I wonder how God's going to work this for good. Romans 8:28. It's the glory of redemption. And if you'll trust him, he'll bring about greater glory in your life. How can I say that? 1 Corinthians 3. Go read the whole chapter. We reflect the glory and image of Christ. It's not a glory that fades. It's an ever-increasing glory. We go from glory to glory in this life until we're with Jesus in the fullness of his glory, which means for the Christian, the best is always yet to come. Especially in this life. Why? Because heaven's always yet to come. Especially as we're going from glory to glory, walking with him, the best is yet to come. It's an ever-increasing glory. We go from glory to glory. Let me say it this way. I was at a wedding a few months ago, back in the summer. One of our dear friends got married. It's a beautiful wedding. You want to talk about glory days. No kids, all right? Glory looks different for everybody. No kids, all right? Date night with the wife. This wedding, y'all, you know how most weddings have cake? Cake's like, eh, you know, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. This wedding had an ice cream bar. Different kinds of ice cream, different kinds of topping. Who's fasting, by the way? Yeah, okay. And so I was in my glory, like, ice cream, oh, that was amazing. Okay, and so we're talking with some people at this wedding, and this older couple, probably 10, 15 years older than us, we start talking, and my wife's very pregnant at the time. He's like, oh, how many kids do you have? And we're like, oh, 4 and 1 on the way. Whoa, that's a lot of kids, right? And, oh, I think they had 4 or 5. And my cousin and his wife were there. They had 4 kids. I'm like, man, a lot of kids here. And their kids were all graduated high school, moving out. You know, they were empty nesters. And the dad looks at us. And he got that dad look. You know what I'm saying? You know that Samuel L. Jackson meme? That's one of my favorites. You know, like 90% of your job as a dad is just staring at your kids like this. You know, like, okay. Anyways, it was like this dad look, and he goes, hey, let me tell you something. While your kids are little, he said, these are the glory days. Enjoy it. And what he was saying is, man, what he was saying is, parenting small children can really be a grind sometimes, can it? Don't take it for granted. Don't miss the glory of these days. Man, we were sitting around yesterday reminiscing with our oldest daughter, Isabel, who's 12 now, about what she was like when she was 2. And we were reminiscing. And I got a little sentimental. You know, I started tearing up. I'm like, oh, it's over. She was so cute. It was amazing, you know. Those were the glory days. He said, these are the glory days. Enjoy it. And he was saying, don't take it for granted. I get that. But there was a hint of lament in what he said. And the hint of lament was, mine are grown now. I didn't enjoy it. And now it's over. And my glory days are over with. And we were like, okay, cool. You know, we talk a little bit. We receive what he was saying. Like, yeah, I get it. And then we're off by ourselves talking later. And I said, you know, I get what he was saying, but I disagree with the premise that the glory days are when your kids were young, or the glory days were when I was in high school. And let me just encourage some of you young people, wherever you're at, some people, some movies, some songs, like high school, these are the best days of your life. That's a lie from the pit of hell, all right? High school is not the best days of your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Man, junior high school are awkward and hard, right? You make tons of mistakes. Probably don't get very good grades. Like, you know, let me encourage you, when you get to college, I know high school grades are really important. They really are. Get into college, get that scholarship. C's get degrees in college. Come on, somebody, right? All the parents are like, I don't know, don't listen to him, honey. Like, it's true, all right? C's get degrees, all right? But listen, here's what I said. We were just thinking, I think the Holy Spirit was dropping stuff because I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 3, glory to glory. And I said, you know, these are the glory days. I love my kids. They're beautiful when they're small. I look forward to the day, though. I keep dreaming about, what are they going to be when they grow up? How are they going to impact the kingdom of God? How can I help train them up into that? I get excited about that. How can I help them fulfill their dreams? And when they're out of my house, my wife and I can have a conversation that's longer than 10 seconds and doesn't get interrupted 20 times. And my wife has to, you know, won't have to keep going to lock herself in the bathroom just to be able to do her devotion, right? And we get to actually have a date night every now and then. Like, how many of you know those are going to be glory days as well, right? There's a glory in that season. And then when our kids are having grandkids, I hear that's pretty great. And then when I'm so old and I've got great grandkids, and listen, here's the glory of that season. I don't have to grind anymore. I can't. I just sit and back. And what I get to do in that season, and here's what I'm praying into. Here's why I'm grinding every single day of my life in the Word of God. Because I want to get to that season and sit back and look at the glory of God that's being unleashed on the earth through my family exponentially, through their kids and their kids and their kids. And I'm going, wow, my floor was their ceiling, and they're doing things I could have never done in my generation. And a revival is sweeping this nation because my kids are living out their calling, and I'm too old to even be in the grind of it. Praise God. But I get to sit back and enjoy it and enjoy it and enjoy it. There's glory in every season of life if you're willing to look for it. Stop believing the lie. Your best days are behind you. You go from glory to glory. It might be a different kind of glory, but there's always greater glory in store. But if you want to experience the greater glory, you got to get through the grind. You know why some people never experience the greater glory of empty nesting? Because they didn't grind it out in their marriage and they got divorced. And now they're empty nesting. They're by themselves. They're alone. They don't have that glory. They don't get to experience some of the glory of that season. If you want to experience the greater glory, you've got to go through. You've got to work through the grind that God is calling you to. And you need something to get through the grind. You know what it is? He says it 3 times. He says, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Josadak, be strong, all you people, and work. I looked up that word work in the Hebrew. Do you know what it means? This will blow you away. It means work. Hard work. It's just a grind sometimes, isn't it? They're building something glorious, but it's a grind in the process. What do you need to get through the grind? God says, be strong three times. The Hebrew word strong is kazak. Look at your neighbor and encourage them in the spirit of the Lord. Kazak. See, you're speaking in tongues. You didn't even know you could. Kazak. Be strong. It's a strength of spirit. It's not physical strength. Because it's not by might nor by power physically that we do these things. It's by the spirit of the Lord. Kazak. Firmness of spirit. You know what I like to call it? Grit. Grit. You know what your problem is? Your faith's not gritty enough. You need a grittier faith. The Holy Spirit is a gritty ghost. He always believes. He always hopes. He always perseveres. He never fails. That's the gritty ghost God has put within you. The same one that rose Christ from the dead. You need some grit in your faith. You need a grittier faith. You want to talk about true grit? How about Jesus in the garden saying three times, Father, not my will, but yours be done. How about not just blood, sweat, and tears, but he was sweating blood while he cried tears for you, and then he still went through the ultimate grind of life called a cross where they crucified him. How about the phenomenal grit he displayed when he was on that cross and people were mocking him, saying, oh, you saved others, save yourself. Come down off that cross if you're the Son of God. And he had told his disciples, with a word, I can come down. With a word, 12 legions of angels to get me down here. Did it take greater strength to say a word and get down, or to stay on that cross for hours upon hours of agony? Now that's true grit. Willing to suffer, not for no reason, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. God's not putting you through a grind to grind you into the ground. He's doing it because there's greater glory at stake. There's greater glory at stake in your marriage. There's greater glory at stake in your kids. There's greater glory at stake where you're facing opposition. That's because the enemy can see God's working you towards greater glory. Stop giving up. Get gritty. I felt like God told me to tell you, it's time to get gritty with it. Will Smith wants you to get jiggy with it. God wants you to get gritty with it. Be a man. Take it like a man. Endure it like a man. Lead like a man. Be a man, men. Women be women. I don't know what to tell you, okay? I just felt that coming on me. There's some men who need to hear that. You need to get gritty. Stop giving up. Stop being passive. Women, you do what you do. Go read the Bible. I don't know. Oh, man. It's a grind sometimes. But if you're going to make it through the grind, you need the grit of Christ's character in you. Philippians 4:13. I want to close with this. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. We say that on athletes talking about their game. You know, I can win this game because Christ gave me strength. You know what the little rendering is? You can endure anything through him who gives you strength. You know what I want to say that as today? The Aaron Kirk version, AKV. You can endure any grind through him who gives you grit. Got that gritty ghost inside of you. It's time to get gritty with it. Your best days are not behind you. Stop believing the lie. When you feel that, you just say, get behind me, Satan. Faith looks forward. There's greater glory in store. You take a verse from Nehemiah and say, hey, I'm doing a great work
and I cannot come down to deal with your little problems, Satan. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. You can endure any grind through him who gives you grit, but you need to stay connected to him for him to give you the grit to get through the grind. You need the grind because it's the grind that creates the grit in you. It's why you consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops grit, perseverance. Grit must finish its work so you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. God, I pray right now that you would just stir us up. Help us always to keep the vision of your word, your promises, your hope in front of us. Help us to renounce that enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy and discourage and focus us on the disappointment and how it's not what we thought it would be. And yet maybe it's exactly what God wants it to be. And so God, help us to focus on you, the greater glory in store. We love you, Lord Jesus. Give us the grit to get through the grind. And everybody said, amen.